Good morning, YouTube, and good morning, Facebook. Well, I couldn't sleep, so I figured I might as well get up and do the broadcast early this morning and have it out of the way. Maybe I can do something different in the morning. Break the routine up a little bit. Good morning, Troy. Looks like you're up and at 'em really early as well. If I were to entitle this devotional this morning, if I was to put a title on it, I would call it Majoring on the Majors and Not on the Minors. Majoring on the Majors and Not on the Minors. You know, what is the major? What's majoring on the majors? Well, Christ is the major thing we need to focus on. Christ and Him crucified. The Apostle Paul said, I would have you know nothing other than Christ and Him crucified. We can never focus too much upon the completed work of Jesus Christ for His people. There's nothing greater than to proclaim the world to save sinners. There's nothing more worthy of His proclamation of His completed work. You know, I know some people that live their whole life majoring on the minors. They want to get off, they want to go down rabbit trails. And, you know, we have a great Savior. Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in His steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth, who when He was reviled, reviled not again. When He suffered, He threatened not, but committed Himself to Him that judgeth righteously. 1 Peter 2:21 through 23. The angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear Him and delivereth them. You know, just think of how many times God has intervened for us. He's been a great strength. He's been a great refuge to us down through the years. I have had a fella tell me one time that the best way, by the way, welcome aboard Jamul Palon B. Hicks. Glad to have you with us this morning. I had a gentleman tell me one time that he had shared with me that one of the things that had been a great blessing to him through the years was that he journaled. He kept a journal. And so for a number of years, I don't do it anymore, but for a number of years, I did that as well. And whenever I would find myself discouraged, I would go back in my journal and see all of the times, many, many times, that Christ intervened for me and my family. And that was a great encouragement to me to see the record, the history of what Christ had done for us in our family. In times of financial woes, in times of physical woes, in times of vocational woes, whatever was going on in our lives. One of the reasons we want to focus or major on the majors and not on the minors is that to remind us of the great, wonderful thing that God has done for us on Calvary. There's not a broadcast that goes by that I don't find myself going back to the 53rd chapter of Isaiah and quoting that beautiful scripture that He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and by his stripes we are healed. You know, what a wonderful day that was when Christ said, "It is finished." And the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. What a wonderful day that was. And we have now an advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the only mediator that we have to go to. There is only one mediator between God and man, and that is the man Christ Jesus. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." He is our Abba Father. We can go to him at any time and petition for his aid and his assistance. And we can cry out to him when we need his help, regardless of what may be going on in our lives. We don't have to rely upon friends or family. It's nice to have friends and family. But we have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. And so when we look at what he did for us by freely laying down his life for us on the cruel and rugged cross of Calvary, that gives us not only encouragement, but it gives us strength for whatever we're going through. Christ has predestined us to adoption, people from every nation, to make them recipients of salvation. What a time of great celebration. Worshiping before the throne of their King, all praises and honor as they sing, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." What a family reunion this will be. No more sin or sorrow or pain. And finally realizing the reality that eternal joy and rest we have gained. Giving all glory to our Savior who died for us and showing us his unmerited favor. Not anything had we done, but his Father giving us the gift of his Son. That's going to be a great time of celebration at the marriage supper of the Lamb. You know, I'm glad that we can look to Christ for our eternal salvation, our eternal hope of glory, and our daily consolation for our sustenance, our spiritual sustenance down here. There's no greater joy than realizing that we are adopted into the family of God, predestinated unto adoption. You know, when we take our first breath and are born on this earth, our mother and father celebrate our new birth. They invite the relatives over, full of joy and laughter, but in reality, we've been born into a world of sin and disaster. Something needs to happen to get us out of this state. We need to be born again. The Bible tells us for God's people, they were predestinated. It was his plan. Well, if that's the case for you and that's the case for me, we have received salvation. Then the final thing to be accomplished for us is our glorification. It's like Brother Troy says, there's salvation in no one else. We don't look to Buddha or Confucius or the Baha'i faith or to a pope, or to transcendental meditation, or to any other guru, Jesus Christ. He is our hope. You know, how I long for a cool cup of water that will quench my spiritual thirst. Christ gives that living water. It never runs dry. He bought me with his blood. I'm the apple of his eye. When I'm in need of comfort and I'm in need of care, I cry out to my Abba Father, and he is always there. When friends and family forsake me, I can always know that my precious loving Savior, how he loves me so. Thank you, Lord, for placing me where the cool waters flow. You know, his bleeding hands and feet are proof. Christ's bleeding hands and feet are proof that God the Father's demands were met. Foreordained before creation, God's decree was already set. Before you and I were ever born, he was slain, you see. His bleeding wounds in hands and feet were a crucial part of this decree. God's justice was met through Christ on Calvary. For such a wretched sinner, and that sinner was me. Thank you, Lord, for suffering in my stead to raise me to new life from the dead. That should be our praise. That should be our focus. We should be majoring on the majors and not on the minors. You know, there's a lot of people that spend a lot of time majoring on the minors rather than majoring on the majors. We're living in evil days. We could spend all of our time focusing on the evil around us. We could spend all of our time talking about all these different false doctrines. We could spend all of our time pointing out, contending for the culture rather than contending for the faith. The only way one can have truth is to have it be revealed to them, quickened by the Holy Spirit and applied by the blood of the Lamb. If a man is dead in his trespasses and sin, as Christ said, you must be born again. And until this happens, no truth is revealed to him. But when one is born again, the truth of the gospel is embraced and cherished. The believer realizes then they will never perish. If they are foreknown, called, blood-bought, and elected from above, they have been given God's eternal love. My uncle was really a good baseball player, my mom's youngest brother. And he got good enough to where he got into the minors, into the minor leagues. But he could never make the major leagues. He could never quite make it into the major leagues. Well, you know what? We did not earn our way into anything. Not even the minor league of salvation. God is the one who paid it all through Jesus Christ. And he was in the major leagues, brother. He was the sovereign king of the universe. He not only was our creator, but he was our eternal, is our eternal redeemer. He's definitely in the major leagues. He's not a minor league. And so we should be majoring on the majors, not on the minors. We should be focusing on what he has done. You know, whenever we heard the gospel, spiritual ears for the first time, do you remember how our soul was liberated? How we realized that our sins had been paid for on the cruel and rugged cross of Calvary? And how we realize now that we were part of the family of God? How we realize that we had a hope that no one could take away from us? How we realize that we were going to be eternally in heaven with Jesus Christ? Behold the man, that's what they said, while my Savior suffered and bled indescribable anguish and pain, bearing my sins so eternal life I would gain. Bleeding from his head, his hands, his feet, his side, knowing that for his people he would suffer and would die. But still in all this agony and pain too, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. What marvelous love was shown to us while he was on the tree, taking all our sins, suffering in such misery, giving us salvation, purchasing our liberty. O sacred head, now wounded with the crown of thorns, the mockery and ridicule, he heard all their scorns. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross, they cried. But my Savior laid his head on his shoulder, saying, it is finished, and then died. To save this wretched sinner, to purchase in my stead, to suffer the wrath of his Father when I deserved it instead. Thank you, Lord, for taking all this grief and pain and giving me salvation. All glory to the Lamb. You know, people get all bent out of shape, all worried about the coronavirus. Listen, we're all going to die. Regardless of how bad it gets, and it may get bad, you know, let us always remember we're marching to Zion. And this march is led by God's dear Son. This pilgrimage is not to a physical place, but looking for a city, the new Jerusalem. Coming down out of heaven, prepared for the bride, this Zion's a place to eternally abide. Many try to make Zion a physical place where rejection of Christ is an utter disgrace, but I'm marching to Zion, a spiritual place. You know, we don't know what we'll have to face while we're down here on this earth. Whether we'll get coronavirus or some other disease or cancer or whatever it might be. Whatever we have to go through, let us always remain thankful for what God has done for us through his Son, Jesus Christ. Let us major on the majors and not on the minors. Thank you, Lord, for giving me eternal life amid all this strife. When evil is so prevalent, you could cut it like a knife. When Satan and his minions mock me and say I'm doomed, I see your hands and feet and view the empty tomb. I never can thank you enough for dying in my stead. I have eternal life, not damnation instead. Christ awed the disciples when on the boat they saw the wind and tempest tossing and the raging of the sea. Then Christ said, "Peace be still." And it became as calm as could be. Who is this, they said, that even the wind and sea obey him? The creator of the universe who had come to earth as man. Yes, he was fully God, yet he was fully man. And he still holds the wind and the sea in the palm of his mighty hand. Thankful that we have the Holy Spirit to comfort us and guide us and lead us into all truth. And I'm thankful for the completed work of Jesus Christ. So this morning, as you go about your daily task today, just remember one thing and one thing alone. Major on the majors and not on the minors. I want to conclude this with this morning. Christ is the fountain of all good. Yes, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. This fountain is an endless supply, and with God's elect forever remains. This everlasting water we drink of each day to replenish our soul along the pilgrim way. Christ, the fountain of all good, forever doth provide a shelter from the storm, and in the cleft of the rock we hide. Our thirst he will always quench when we are oh so dry. With this everlasting stream of water he always doth supply. Well, may the good Lord be with you all in a special way today. Appreciate all of those who joined us this early morning. And hopefully we all can get some rest and be used for another day, right? May the good Lord be with each one of you, Eunice Singer, Jimmel B. Hicks, Maso Dom Molly, Troy Scarborough, and all those later who will wake up and happen to listen to this, and the ones that listen to it on YouTube and our other platforms. God bless. Have a great day.